Here we are in this very familiar story about Thomas, a very familiar story about faith and belief. And maybe it's just as well as you and I suffer through what is probably the greatest scandal of the church in the last 500 years, at least since the Reformation. And it can break our hearts, make us weary, make us angry. I mean, it's in the newspaper almost every single day. Then there's the drip, drip, drip of new allegations all the time. And it seems like everything is in disarray. And I wonder sometimes, do I talk too much about this thing? Do I not talk enough about it? I don't know. You can kind of tell me, you know, at the end of Mass if you would like to. But we have experienced a tremendous loss of trust in the church. A tremendous loss of respect in the church as well. And we have lost our moral voice. I mean, how can I stand up here and talk to you about being chaste and about abortion when the clergy have been so unchaste? How can I stand up here and talk to you about the beautiful teachings about justice in the church when we've been so unjust to the victims? And like Thomas, all this can make us have a loss of faith, just like him. But the remarkable thing is, I think, is how many people still live and breathe and have their faith in the midst of all of this. I mean, everybody here, I'm sure, is broken and wounded by what has happened to our church. And of course, we want justice and healing for the victims. We want healing for our church, but we continue to struggle on as a people of faith. And folks, do you realize, and I'm not going to elaborate on this, do you really realize that we at the Diocese of Allentown and Johnstown, and actually we here in Johnstown, are at the very epicenter of the clergy scandal as it is going on today throughout the world? We are ground zero for all of this. I don't know if you realize that or not, but in the midst of being in ground zero, in the midst of all the ashes of all that has happened and all this, a beautiful rose is beginning to bloom in our church. And it's beginning to bloom right here in this place. And allow me, if I could, for just a moment, to talk a little bit about what happened last week and the Holy 3 days to be able to make my point. The Holy 3 days last week for me may have been the most meaningful of them all, because you and I came together as parishes, our Mother of Sorrows and St. Michael's, and we came together, young and old, to make a remarkable statement of faith about our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. All 5 liturgies that I was at, starting with Holy Thursday night and ending up on Sunday, were all completely filled, totally filled, each time. And understand that St. Michael's down there for the 6th liturgy we had for last weekend was filled as well. And then Thursday night, we washed feet. And folks, I washed a lot of people's feet. I think that's most people's feet I've washed and all of doing this feet washing thing. And I can't tell you how many times I wanted to stand up and look around and see what you guys were doing, you know, as the different stations around the church here. But people told me after the liturgy was over, and I'm telling you, the church was packed, completely, totally full all around. More than half the people in the church came to wash feet and to get their feet washed. What a remarkable, remarkable statement of faith, of hospitality, and Christian community on Holy Thursday night. Then there was Good Friday, which for me was probably the most prayerful of them all. And the way you venerated the cross, the beautiful way you sang the music throughout the lyric, plus mixed in all the different moments of complete silence, were absolutely beautiful for me. It was my favorite one out of all of it because it was just so prayerful for me. And then about 4 o'clock, about 50 of us, gathered to go out in the rain. It rained the entire time that we were out there doing our walking stations of the cross all throughout Westmont here. And then by about the 10th or 11th station, we kind of got completely washed out. I think it just sort of was a torrential downpour. We all kind of came back here and finished the stations here in the church. Then 6 o'clock, we did it all over again. A bunch of folks coming down to St. Michael's and doing it down there as well. And then there was the Easter Vigil. Somebody who was not a parishioner here said to me that he has never, ever been to a liturgy that the church was completely full 45 minutes before the liturgy began. And it was like that. It was so beautiful. Your participation once again, the wonderful music, the way in which you welcomed the new members who came into the church that night. And let me also mention here that more than one person mentioned to me how young people were here all throughout the Holy 3 days, and they noticed it. Now, young folks can say, well, we got credit for it, you know, for showing up and doing that. But that's all right. So you did. So what? But they came, and they were here, and it was noticeable that they were here and all of that. Now, I am thinking that maybe all that happened all throughout many, many different places, those kinds of things. And indeed, we are brokenhearted by what is happening to our church. But many of us, all of us here tonight, would never think of leaving the church. I mean, Jesus hasn't left the church. Jesus hasn't abandoned us. He's raising up the church again. He's rebuilding it. He's making this beautiful rose grow in this place right here. And like Thomas, you and I continue to act as people of faith, even though we haven't yet, we didn't see to be able to believe. I mean, we didn't see like Thomas did, and yet we proclaim, my Lord and my God. And here we are again tonight. Now, at this point, it seems to me that there is something very, very urgent about all of this for us, that you and I, more than ever, ever before, have to become people who know our faith and people who choose personally to have a relationship with this God of ours. This is not something that is just a bunch of habit. We have to choose all of this. And with that in mind, let me just for a moment introduce you to our new message series for Lent, for Easter, which is called, What Are You Looking For? Questions from the Gospel of John. Now, John is the gospel for Easter, for daily mass, for Sunday mass, all the way through. We want to do a little bit of a deep dive into what John really is trying to say to us about Jesus Christ. And we want to be able to ask the big questions. What are you looking for in all this? Whom are you looking for in all of this? And so let me invite you to join us on Wednesday evenings after the 6 o'clock mass, little commentary, little video, talk a little bit about what we heard and what we experienced about all this. If you can't do that, meet in your small groups. We'll provide you with all the stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Or just do it yourself, or meet as part of your family. But the biggest thing I always say is don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. And you and I need to have liturgies that nourish people. Liturgies that are upbeat and bring people alive. And folks, we really, really need in the future, as we're already beginning to do, is to encourage one another. I mean, the pastor encouraging you. Parents, encourage your kids. Kids, respect your parents. They're trying to do their very best by giving you the faith, by bringing you here in all of this. Parents, or all of us, or grandparents, let me say this, grandparents first, and encourage your kids and your grandkids about the faith. And all of us, would you consider encouraging all these people who try to serve you in the parish? Hospitality back there, music folks, the people who are teaching the religious education to our young folks, to really encourage them as they try to do this job, this awesome work of trying to bring together for all of us a community of faith, and to just simply support each other by our own witness of faith. Let me close with a little story, a true story, actually, a parable of sorts of how you and I can be a people who really do encourage one another. It's a story about a big city drifter. His name was George. And George had wild hair, tattered pants, not the stylish tattered pants, but the tattered pants that are really tattered pants. He had, and a big oversized t-shirt. And one day, George decides he's going to go to Mass in a church not unlike our own. And he comes late. And the church is full, and the homily is about to begin. So George starts to walk down the aisle looking for a seat, and he couldn't find any, and nobody was sort of scooching in to kind of give him a seat either. And so he gets all the way to the front of the church, and he decides he's just going to sort of sit down right here in front of the church on the floor, on the pulpit, in front of the pulpit. And the people are shocked. They're incredulous, but they don't do anything. And the priest begins to start his homily there, and then all of a sudden, one of the elderly hospitality persons begins to come down the aisle, and people just sort of stop and watch in silence as this very elegant, well-dressed man begins to walk down the aisle. He walks with a cane, but he walks with a kind of confidence, with a kind of air of authority about him as he walks down the aisle. And all the people are thinking, you know, whatever he is going to do down there or say down there to George, this man, this model of correctness, should say, and George does deserve for this irreverence and imprudence of sitting right there on the floor. So the church is silent except for the clicking of the cane coming down the aisle. And the people are just sort of silently watching and wondering what's going to happen. And when he finally gets down there to George, he very, very carefully puts down his cane. And then with some difficulty, he slides down the side of in front of the pew here and sits down beside George, guaranteeing that George will not go through Mass sitting by himself. And the people are just shocked at what they saw and completely silent and kind of choked up by the whole thing. And then finally, the priest, after he gathers himself, he says, "What I'm about to say to you today, you'll probably never, ever remember. But what you have just witnessed, you will never, ever forget." That's the kind of faith I saw Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil night, and on Easter Sunday. That's the kind of faith you and I are called to for one another. That's the kind of faith that makes you and I, even though we haven't seen like Thomas, to say, "My Lord and my God."